So today I'm going to talk about male involvement from a more theoretical perspective, although we did conduct a qualitative exploratory study, but I'm going to focus primarily on the findings and the theory that we're proposing. So I'm going to just briefly go over background, study rationale, describe the process, and then get to the results and conclusions. So we all know that paternal involvement is important and has a positive effect on maternal health behaviors as well as pregnancy outcomes. And we also know that the absence of paternal involvement has a negative effect on birth outcomes as well. So that's been demonstrated in the literature, and quite a bit of research has been done. The problem with what we have done is that there really isn't a theoretical framework or a definition of paternal involvement or measurements of paternal involvement. I'm guilty of it myself. All of my work in paternal involvement is looking at birth certificate information, and we use that as a proxy for paternal involvement, but it is not the ideal. Marital status is not a way of measuring paternal involvement. Neither is whether the name is on a birth certificate or not. And I can asking the mother whether the father is involved, it also is not appropriate. We have a different view than the males may have as well. So basically, we try what we can, and we know there's a problem, and we know that it's good for fathers to be involved, but there's nothing out there theoretically that we can grasp and start to test. And those of us who do research and are really struggling with that. So the purpose of this study was really to look at that, but also from the National Healthy Start Association to really look at what can we do now to improve paternal involvement in current maternal and child health activities and programs and initiatives. So basically approach the problem from a more parallel approach. So looking at the research and the theory at the same time, we don't wait for that to really try to implement changes. So this is really a twofold objective. So primarily look at definition of the father and the role of the father during pregnancy, identifying any barriers to involvement, and also identifying methods to increase the involvement of fathers during pregnancy. So to briefly describe the methods, this was initiated by the National Healthy Start Association's Where Dads Matter initiative. And I am part of the group, but it's primarily individuals from National Healthy Start. So we decided to conduct focus groups with participants, recipients of National Healthy Start Association services across the country. We did this last year in 2011, and at the time they had 102 sites across the country. I think we have a couple more now. I'm not sure how many we have now, but it was 105, okay, wonderful. So the best way to really get a general sense from the recipients of these services was to do it at the conference, because there are many consumers that are invited to this conference, and it's they're from all over the place, and each site tries to invite a few of their participants to the conference. So we decided to go ahead and conduct some focus groups there, and we had five focus groups, and we reached saturation after the third one. So it was becoming redundant. We were hearing the same thing over and over. It didn't matter whether it was a male-only group, female-only, or the mixed groups. So once we had all three different types of groups done, we decided to do a couple more mixed groups just to make sure that we did reach saturation. So I will make no apology for our sample size because we were ready to continue until we reached saturation. So we did so after about 50 people. And I was concerned that it's always hard to get men involved in anything to do with research. But those who were there were very involved, and they were not dominated by the women during the focus group. So we were quite satisfied that we got a good feel for what the men were thinking as well. And there were almost no differences between the groups. So we decided to go ahead and start analyzing. They were primarily African American, and as you know, National Healthy Start, a large portion of their consumers are African American. But again, in the focus groups, we didn't really see too many differences, cultural differences. A few details here and there, but in general, the conceptual framework that we're proposing was could be valid across cultures. So after transcriptions, coding, and all the fun stuff with qualitative analyses, we got together with the advisory board and the community members and did a content analysis and thematic analyses. We got together in Florida, a good place to have meetings if you're from Rochester, New York. We met about 7-8 of us and really went through to decipher the specific roles and the issues coming up in the focus groups. So a lot of other themes came up in addition to the questions that we had. A lot of people mentioned the importance of communication between parents, the importance of male involvement post-pregnancy. It's not just pregnancy, but it's a good starting point to get the men involved after pregnancy as well, once the baby's here. The importance of family support. And there was a lot of focus on the relationship and that love between the man and a woman having that baby. So we'll get into that later. And quite a few people mentioned their concern about the disparities that they were hearing about how black babies die more often than other babies. So the community is aware and concerned about that, and that did come up in the focus groups. So first thing we did in every focus group is try to figure out the terms. What word do you want me to use? Do I use male involvement? Do I talk about fathers? I mean, so they helped me, and they came up with three primary words. So a daddy is someone who comes and goes, is basically the sperm donor, okay, the biological father. A father is the man who nurtures and raises a child, whether or not he's a biological father or not, okay? And a man is someone who steps up and raises a child, whether it's his or not. So the only one that caused an issue was the definition of a man, because the men were not agreeing with that. Just because I don't want to take care of some other guy's child doesn't mean I'm not a man. But if I do it, I'm a nice man, right? So that was the biggest disagreement in the focus group. I don't have to take care of somebody's child to be a man. I was like, okay, got that. So, yes, and they're right. but it's good to have a nice man around you if you don't have the daddy or the father around. So we decided to use the term father as the ideal person, the male partner who's taking care of the mother and the child, or at least is in the life of the child, whether or not he's the biological father or not, okay? And we leave that man issue alone. So I'm using the term father, and that's as a result of these focus groups as well. Just clarify it in the beginning. So I can go through all of the quotes, but it took us hours and days to do that. I'll give you the summary. An involved father is available, accessible to the mother carrying the child. An involved father is engaged and supportive of the pregnancy process. An involved father takes responsibility for the well-being of the child and the mother. And this is the important key point here, regardless of the relationship status with the mother. So this summarizes basically the entire, all five focus groups that we had. And that was a definition that we agreed as a community analyzing the data. I only have 20 minutes, so I'm not going to go through all the quotes, but do I have 10 minutes? That's not good.
No.
So basically, I mean, I have all the quotes, and this is in press, so it'll be out pretty soon if you want to look out for the publication. And it's in one of those BNC Public Health, which is free, so you'll be able to get it. If you can't, just email me. So it goes through the different categories.
At
Trust me.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah. I timed myself when it was 30. Okay. So. So we did look at some of the barriers, and this is really nothing new. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Using the social ecological model to really frame the barriers. So fathers don't get involved because at the individual level, they usually have an unhealthy relationship with the mother, or the mother has an unhealthy relationship with the father and doesn't want him involved. Fathers are often afraid of the unknown, especially younger fathers. There's a fear of responsibility, and sometimes they don't live near the mother, so that becomes an issue that they don't really understand how to overcome. At the family level, many of them recognize that both the mothers, the women and the men, often come from dysfunctional families. So the women don't really know what to expect from their male partners as far as being a father to their child, and the men don't always know how to be a father because they didn't have the role model. Neither one of them had a father role model. So basically this is back to the family of origin issue. Community, a lot of the both the men and the women refer to gang violence as a problem. Fathers who are members of gang or victims of gangs. Incarceration is a big barrier in many communities. Fathers cannot be involved, or maybe we haven't figured out a way to get them involved from prison. I think there's a way to do that, but that's another study. There's a lot of homicide that deprives children from their fathers. Societal level, there's not enough. We're starting to change, especially in public health, but really there isn't, people are not convinced that fathers are really important during pregnancy. And you can see that in all the maternal and child health issues and public health departments that we have. It's mother and child. There's no father in there. So I think we need to think about changing our lingo. Also, the healthcare providers themselves are not really emphasizing it. They felt that there was a casual acceptance of sex and not really the responsibility that comes with having sex, especially for teenagers, et cetera. Perpetuation of gender roles, again, it goes back to the cultural effect that when we think of pregnancy, we think of mom and baby, and that's it. So there's a need for a shift in the way we think as a community. As far as policy, the two main policies that came up were paternity testing and child support. So those two were important. People were not really sure what the policies are for child support, and a lot of the mothers said that they tended to use it to control the father's access to the child. So there are a lot of issues around that, and the men don't really know their rights. So paternity testing is also an issue. When mother has multiple partners, you're not sure if that's really your baby. You cannot afford the test, et cetera. So you can imagine how that conversation went in the focus groups. But so this just gives you a general idea of the barriers. I don't think there's anything new in there, but what I did is put it for you in a cute little framework. All right, so what I'm really wanting to talk about is I want to propose a theoretical framework, and I challenge you to challenge it, because that's the objective of proposing a framework is, can we use this, and can we show where it works or where it doesn't work? Can we modify it, make it better? But I want to give us something to start with. And based on the literature and the focus groups, we see four main levels or components of father involvement during pregnancy. One is the accessibility, the engagement, the responsibility, and primarily, very importantly, which makes it different from early childhood involvement, is that the couple relationship is important. So when we're doing intervention, when we're doing research, we cannot ignore. It's not just about, does he go to the Lamaze classes with you? It's also, are you able to get over whatever it is your relationship status is, to really focus on the child? So I want to propose these four components based on these focus groups and the literature. And to make it more clear, to provide a more conceptual model. So let me see if I can find the arrow. So here you have the ideal father if you want. So he's a biological father and he's a love partner. Okay, that's what we all wish, but it's not always the case. So sometimes the male that's involved or wants to be involved or needs to be involved is the biological father. Sometimes it's just a male partner who became a partner, hopefully, after the pregnancy. Or maybe not. Not my problem. So it doesn't matter where the male is here, whether he's the father or not. Basically, he's the person involved. And I challenged him. I said, well, what if it's like your brother or your uncle who's just trying to be a father? No, it doesn't count in pregnancy. That's not the same. Having that love, and I was going to play for you that love song from the 1950s, but I didn't. Okay, well, I won't then. but it's really about the women emphasize that they really wanted, there's something special about having someone who loves you in that romantic way while you're pregnant. That's different from what your mother or your uncle or someone else can provide. So family is important, but having that partner during the pregnancy process seems to be extremely important. And I'm not a psychologist, but I can imagine that that would be quite a support for the mom. So that partner, or we'll call him the father, needs to be accessible, engaged, responsible towards the baby. But guess what? The baby is not out yet. So the baby is inside the mother, in utero. Therefore, you have to go through the mother. I mean, you have to take care of the mother if you want to take care of the baby, right? And in that case, the relationship, the context of the relationship becomes a really important level that we cannot ignore, because his accessibility, his engagement, his responsibility is funneled, if you think of it as a funnel, through the relationship with the mother. So if we're trying to evaluate or even to create interventions, we cannot ignore skills for communication skills between partners who are no longer together. It's trying to bring them back to the child and having child-focused communication skills, because they won't do all of the other unless they can actually talk to the mother about the child and vice versa. Okay? So this is what I'm proposing. And again, this leaves room for cultural differences. It leaves room for geographical differences, for ethnic differences, whatever you want, because what's accessible in my mind may not be what's accessible in your mind. You know, if I'm the type of person who he has to be here when I call him, that may not be necessary for someone else. Engagement varies by culture, by individual even. Responsibility varies as well. So I think that this really leaves room for a lot of differences, individual as well as cultural and ethnic differences. So, and again, I really hope that this at least gives us a base to start to do research and think about measurements as well as interventions. Okay? So, the recommendations that we came up with in the focus groups, and in the paper we discussed how a lot of this is already in the literature. So it's basically confirming what many other people have said, but this is from the community, from fathers and mothers. So education is important. It's important for everyone, the fathers, men, future fathers, women, and providers, to understand the importance of involving the father from pregnancy. Don't wait till the baby comes out and then start looking for the dad or start trying to teach him how to be a father. We have to do that way ahead of time, and we need to understand that they are important from conception, and probably we can make a case for beyond that. And providers, there are some issues that are a bit sensitive. Providers, sometimes they want to get the fathers involved, they don't really know how. And another issue is domestic violence, because if I'm an OB and the woman comes in pregnant, I want to screen her for domestic violence, I don't want the father there. What if it's him, you know, abusing his wife? So there are some issues that we need to work on to try to really help the mom and the baby, but also be able to involve the father. So it's not as simple as we think. It's not about just, hey, dad, come on in. There are some issues that we need to be aware of, and domestic violence is the easiest example that I can give you that would cause problems if it were present within that family. Okay? But regardless, we all need to be focusing on that. So education for men, of course, a lot of them said they didn't understand the physical changes, the mood changes, the development of the baby. And guess what? That's what we teach women, right? So the men also felt that they needed to be aware at least of what's important and having a general idea. I told you, 3 minutes? Okay, so awareness, and also be aware of, if they're aware of their role, then they can also learn about disparities, infant mortalities, their paternity rights, legal expectations of them. And for both women and men, we think the interventions should focus on child communication skills, child-focused communication skills, and so that they can relate and communicate with their partner regardless of whether or not they're still together. And that's an important skill that we recommended to the National Healthy Start. Services, men always need services. To be responsible, you have to have a job. To be responsible, sometimes it helps to know that you're actually the dad of the baby. So there's a need to link them to resources and to really try to support them so that they can be responsible fathers. Okay? So basically, again, the purpose was really to provide recommendation to the National Healthy Start on what they might start to do to improve their services to men. And the former president is in the room, so I'm sure she'll have some comments. And again, not to forget that different from childhood, that the relationship between the parents is even more so important during pregnancy because of you can't just show up and take the baby and go play with it. You know, the baby is still in utero. So that's something that we need to consider. And there were a lot of barriers to optimal involvement. And I really hope that future research and intervention will take some of these propositions that I have into consideration. And I will stop. Thank you.